This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, a fantastic multi-hyphenate. We've been doing all the multi-hyphenates lately. She's best known for her role on the hilarious Netflix show, Dear White People, and is the host of her uplifting podcast, Trials to Triumphs, on the Oprah Winfrey Network podcast network. Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan. I'm happy to be here.
We made it happen. We had some technical issues with the fridge. Guys, I want you to know there's a lot that goes into getting this fridge pick, and there was high-level negotiations, and we finally made it happen.
High level? Oh my gosh.
There was a lot of like, we can't directly connect you two. You have to go reps to reps. And no, we actually bypassed our reps. We got on together and we made it happen.
That's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do. And here we go. Guys, you can see this fridge on my Instagram at StandUpDan. I am sharing the fridge right now. Okay, here we go.
Oh my gosh. This
now,
is insane.
I'm seeing this sort of at the same time as you guys are listening to this. So I'm going through this real time. Someone is sponsored by 365 is what I'm seeing here.
No, someone should be sponsored by 365. That's what you're saying. Actually, that is crazy. I need a deal.
There's some serious 365 action going here, which I don't mind. I mean, it's like, that is like, listen, I'm Whole Foods level, but I'm not going to be dumb about it. I'm going to be responsible about it.
Everything's, you know? 365. This is crazy. Whole Foods. Oh my gosh.
We got the mayo. We got the Dijon mustard. Two Dijon mustard, it looks like.
No, that one's a honey. That one's a honey mustard.
Oh, it's a honey mustard. Okay. Yeah. We've got the organic sweet something.
Sweet chili.
Sweet chili. We got you got the deep cuts. Like, these are random fucking 365. What is this?
Creamy Caesar.
Creamy Caesar. I mean, and you even like place them really nicely.
That's lemon juice.
Lemon juice. Wow. I didn't even know they make lemon juice. Like, you go hard in the paint. The classic ranch. You're even getting organic ranch. That's hilarious. That is like you want to show the world that you've made it. You're like, oh. I mean, it's ranch. It's ranch. But you're like, I'm still Jenny from the block. That's good. Okay. And then I don't think I've ever tried 365 blueberry or yogurt. I've never gone to the yogurt section with them.
It's delightful. Get into it.
Really?
Yes, it is. I like everything from, I could get everything from Whole Foods almost. I love it there.
I do too. I guess I've never like filtered, you know, for just the 365 products.
Yeah, because they're the best bang for your buck. That's the thing. I think people think that Whole Foods is like very expensive. And like, it's not in it, but I find that I spend less shopping at Whole Foods than I do at like Ralph's. Mm. If I'm doing like 365 brand and like Kraft or whatever, like their main brand, Heinz and stuff, like, oh yeah, it's much better.
Also, you know, I probably shouldn't be admitting to this, but my pandemic holdover, I'll never go to a supermarket again, okay? I'm never setting.
You're Instacarting it.
Mm. I'm done. It's there. I'm ordering it. It's coming to my door. I used to be all bougie and I want to pick out the avocado myself. Now I'm like, no, let Greg pick out the avocado. Have at it, Greg. Like, I'm sure you'll do great. But the thing about it that you get is that, let's say you get a product that you try and it's a little subpar. Normally, what are you going to do? You're going to pack it up and go back to the supermarket and return it like a crazy person? No, you're not going to. You're just going to throw it out and take the hit. Not when you order online. Oh, baby, you can return with reckless abandon if something's a little off, a little wrong. And yeah, I've definitely returned a couple
of things. Here's my thing, though, about the Instacarting, because I was doing it for a while, too. I can't with the substitutions.
Mm.
There's been too many orders where like 79% of my order could not be found. They substituted for some BS that I do not want.
Right.
Then if you choose no substitutions, then you don't have any groceries. So that's what I struggle with. I do.
Yes. I understand that. You know, I wanted to surprise my parents. I was in New York last week and I wanted to, I know they love duck and I love duck. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going home for dinner tomorrow night. I'm going to send over a duck and we're going to have duck for dinner. And I found this supermarket that had kosher duck because they're Jews. And I got this kosher duck, put it in the cart. And then they were like, for free shipping, you need to get like $30 more stuff. I got $30 of random stuff. It was like some fancy sparkling water and some lox or something, like a smoked salmon. And I delivered it. And then I had to go to work. And I get off of work and I see that they couldn't find the duck and they didn't do a substitution. So they just sent the filler products to my parents' house.
See, no. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and my parents were like, why did you just send us seltzer and smoked salmon? So I understand that. There's definitely technical glitches. But, okay, back to the fridge. The funny thing about this fridge to me is that you have so many really... This is a condiment-heavy fridge.
Oh, yeah.
It gives the illusion that it's a full fridge, but in actuality, there's nothing to eat here.
Yeah. You know why, too? A lot of my stuff is in the freezer.
Ah.
And then, like, we ran out of fruit. Fruit is normally in those empty, like, plastic things, like plastic bin things.
Oh, these things?
No. Over, down. These. Down a row, those fruits normally okay. In there, but we've eaten all of it. And then the other fruit is below in the crisper.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like because I cook every day. So I have, it looks condiment heavy, but what it really is that I use a lot of those things to make like marinades or like a dipping sauce, or I use them for like my daily cooking.
Yeah. You seem like there's serious stuff in here. For sure. Also, the bin people. I've always strived to be a bin person, but I don't know. I've never done it. I feel like I need a little more chaos in my fridge. But this is very bin heavy. This is
I have to be organized in there. Oh yeah, we're out of eggs. Normally, there's a lot of eggs. I love taking the eggs out of the carton and putting them in that. I love that.
Oh my God, unhinged! You're completely unhinged.
I am.
And then this top right bin is like, this is like the, it's like the pharmacy. It's like,
yeah, it's the pharmacy.
Organic pharmacy.
Yeah. So these are some like concoctions that you can like put in like your tea or your water or your juices or whatever. And they're like good for different things. So some of them are like for wellness. Some of them are like the one you see in front is genius juice. So it's good for like, if you feel like kind of like foggy that day, it kind of gives you like a little like mental pep. And then the white thing in the middle is an eye cream because I like to keep my eyes nice and bright. And, you know, Ashley. It's just for like potential bags or dark circles. I do an eye cream every night and every morning from my, it's a compounding prescription.
It's a serious eye cream. This is an eye cream that needs to be refrigerated. It has a prescription label on it. This is, This is Ashley. You, I mean, I don't know how you grew up, but you made it. Although, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you down a peg. It's time to bring you down a peg, if I may.
Please.
From your bougie-ass eye cream to your humongous jar of Kirkland pre-cut garlic.
Yes.
I mean, in a big vat, almost. I'm surprised someone who cooks as much as you. This is one of my pet peeves, is the pre-cut garlics, because it always tastes a little acrid and weird, and I hate it. I hate it.
You know what's weird? So you wouldn't know a secret? I'm like a cook, right? Like, I'm like an avid cook. I am a chef in some regards, depending on who you're talking to. I've never cut garlic myself, like fresh garlic, peeled it, cut it. I don't do it. I either use that pink thing next to it is a garlic puree, which I love. Like, I love a garlic puree, like when I'm like marinating meats and stuff like that. But like cutting garlic, fresh garlic seems like the biggest waste of time to me, because that Kirkland Signature minced garlic is fine, or my squeezed tube pureed garlic is fine for me. So it's something that I don't do. I'll be honest about it.
I will tell you what I do, which is I meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Which is I buy the peeled garlic cloves.
Okay. See, maybe I could do that. Okay.
Yeah. I urge you, just try it. Although I do like the whatever the squeeze bottle thing is. I actually
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the squeeze bottle for a lot of, if you want to add anchovy into anything, instead of like opening a tin of anchovy, they have anchovy in the little toothpaste thing. Ooh, a little bit of that.
Love it. Yep.
You're good
I'm
to
with
go.
You. Yep. But okay, I'll do it. I'll start chopping up some garlic, but I am not getting that whole white bulb thing and breaking it apart and peeling it. This is literally never going to happen. Never.
It is very annoying to do. But man, and then also, I mean, how could you diss 365 for Kirkland on your garlic?
Well, because I use so much garlic, I need the large size. If I were getting the 365 version, I would be at Whole Foods every 3 days getting garlic. So, you know, we do have a Costco membership. I get very few things at Costco. Sometimes we'll get water, although we have 365 water in there. We get all of like our toilet paper, paper towels, big thing of garlic. And like, that's about it. Like, I go to Costco like for those things. Oh, and like they have like chicken broth in like bulk. I get that too.
Mm. Speaking of chicken broth, there's something here that it's very interesting. You have this fantastic fridge of a lot of stuff, and your centerpiece, your pièce de résistance, the thing that is that your eye gets brought into is a humble can of better than bouillon in the middle, like taking up space with a spotlight on it. Is this by design? Is this what you grab most often?
No, it is not. And then behind, so the one you see in front is chicken flavor. They also have a beef flavor that's behind that one. No, I don't use it a lot, but it is kind of like one of my favorite refrigerator items. I used to use bouillon cubes. When I found this joint, I was like, oh, it's so much better. It has so much more. So this is the thing. These are new. Like, I don't know how new they are, but like, let's say bouillon cubes have been available for centuries or whatever. This has been available for like years, like a couple of years of like, it's very, very new, but I think
This is post 9/11. This is post 9/11.
This might be like post the pandemic. Like, I think it's very, it's very new, but I love it. It adds so much flavor. I am a girl who likes to cook a lot of like I use my Dutch oven a lot. So I like to, you know, stew things and boil things down and have a broth and stuff like that. And
you're like, you're a little witch. You're a little Macbeth. Yes.
I love a brew. I like my wooden utensils. Honestly, I really do. So yeah, that's really great for that. I highly recommend anyone listening, get better than bouillon that goes in the refrigerator. It's the best.
First of all, the fact that you're not sponsored by any of these companies, I mean,
right?
You speak so eloquently and like crisply about these products that I'm just like, yeah, I want it. I want in. Okay, and then you've got these juice boxes. Are these for you? Are you a juice box adult?
I am, actually.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you why, though. I love something that's on the go. I'm in my car a lot. I don't, like, I have a Stanley. I really should be sponsored by all of these things. But anywho, I have my Stanley. And, like, but the Stanley, as much as I love it, it weighs, like, 7,000 pounds. So I don't always want to lug my Stanley around with me. So sometimes, like, I'm like, I'm going to be in the car for an hour, 30 minutes, whatever. I might get a little parched. Let me grab my organic watermelon and strawberry 35 calorie juice box. It solves everything.
I mean, you're very good at selling things that normally I want to give people shit for, but you're like, you sell it so hard that I'm like, I think I need to get some juice boxes. It makes sense. And then what's this bougie like can of juice or can of soda? What is that up there?
So it's called Deya Capache. I think it's called Tapache. It's like a probiotic soda. And they come in these different flavors. This is actually a flavor I've never tried before. So, like, they were on sale at Whole Foods. I've had them before. I like the blue can, which I cannot think of what the flavor is, but it's so freaking good. This one, I think, is prickly cactus.
Pear.
Prickly pear. Yeah, prickly pear with cactus something in there.
I think pear is the only of the prickly fruits.
Okay, got it. Okay, so it's prickly pear. But they're really good. They're very flavorful. You kind of feel like you're drinking a soda without it being like this sugary, you know, Coke that you feel bloated after. Like, this makes you feel good. You feel like you had a treat, and they're delicious. And there's probiotics in them.
Okay. I don't think I've ever had more of a health nut on this podcast, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you've said all the buzzwords, probiotic. I'm sure adaptogens is on your mind.
Yep.
You got the concoctions. You've got the apothecary up here in the top right of your fridge.
I have plant-based cream cheese, which is good, by the way. It tastes just like regular cream cheese. You have to have it.
First of all, no. I want my cream cheese to come out of a cow's udders, okay? Where it's supposed to come out of, all right? I don't want a plant making my cream cheese. Okay.
It is so damn good.
By the way, I love that it's Philadelphia brand, because Philadelphia cream cheese is, like, to me, like a very, like, blue collar cream cheese. And I love that they're making plant based cream. Like, one day, I wish I could be there the day of the meeting. Like, hey guys, everyone get together on the factory floor. We got an announcement to make. These LA people, they want some plant based cream cheese. And like 30 people just like drop their aprons and walk out.
That's probably what happened. But it's a hit. It's a hit. So they knocked it out of the park. I'm just waiting on the other flavors. And here's the thing. This is what you have to know about me, Dan. I'm not lactose. I'm just the LA girl that's like, I'm going to do some things that are plant-based. Like, I have to keep it a buck. Like, that's who I am. So, like, when I saw this, something about getting the plant-based version of chive and onion cream cheese made me feel better than getting the regular one. But it happened to work out great. But, like, I don't – like, butter, I'm not compromising on that. I'm not using plant-based butter. I'm using butter that comes from the udder of cows, like you said.
Yes. So each udder of a cow has five like, nipple things, and each one has a different milk product that comes out. One is cream cheese, one is butter, one is milk, one is skim milk. That's how cows work.
Hey, let me ask you, Dan. I know this is your podcast, but let me ask you.
Please.
What percentage milk do you drink?
Oh, I want that full fat. Uncut.
You're a holer?
I want that uncut, full fat Colombian milk.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised.
Baby.
Not surprised.
Oh, my yogurt, 5%. Oh, yeah. I'm like, get me the fattest cow and milk it. That's what I want. I want the cow that has gout. I want that gouty cow's milk.
Wow. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. Your butter, when you do your butter, are you doing real, like, full butter or no?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, butter is the thing that I'm like, I need regular butter. But it's crazy. Like, when my husband is lactose, I make him do lactate 2%. But when I met him, he was on whole milk. And I was like, something is wrong. You can't drink this. Then I now, like if I'm having cereal or something, I do oat milk. I'm a vanilla oat milk girl.
Here's the thing. I'm not drinking a ton of milk. The only time I have milk is in the mornings with my cappuccino. I like a... And whole fat milk gives you that real, that good froth.
Yes.
You know? I need that froth with the micro bubbles, the tiny, tiny bubbled froth. And you can't get it. You know, some of the oat milks, you can do it. Like, they make the barista version of the oat milks now. But I feel like that has too many weird, like, filler chemicals in it to make it seem like milk. And I'm like, I think I'm just going to go for the real thing.
Okay. I hear that. I think coffee is a good exception for that. I do. I don't drink coffee, but I think it's great.
All in all, great fridge.
Thank you.
Well done. And thank you for selling. Now you see why we needed the high-res version, because we go in deep.
I see. And I will never not send you the highest resolution of photos ever again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So you don't drink coffee. Then what is it? What keeps you going? Because you do a lot of stuff.
I'm high on life, Dan.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
I just... No. So this is another like little tidbit about me. I desperately want to be a coffee drinker. Like, I literally like went on a mission to like, because here's the thing. I grew up in a house where my parents still, and growing up, they drink coffee all day black. So I grew up, like, I love the smell of waking up to the coffee beans roasting. And then I actually love coffee flavored stuff. So like coffee flavored frozen yogurt's my favorite. Ice cream. Like, I love coffee flavor, but I think for me that the hang up on coffee is that I just never got into the habit of drinking it. And now I'm like 35. So jumping into like now all of a sudden, like I drink coffee every morning. It just isn't, it's never been a part of my routine, but I like the flavor of it. I also think too, there's too many coffee options. Like as you were saying, you drink a cappuccino every morning. I was like, I wanted to ask you, like, how did you know you were a cappuccino guy? Like, am I a cappuccino girl? I've had a mocha. I've had an iced mocha before. I kind of liked that, but What is my coffee? I don't know.
You've come to the right place.
And thank you.
First of all, I agree with you. There are too many options out there. I think Starbucks has Starbuckified coffee, where there's literally, I think you can order like 1,000 different versions of coffee when you go to a Starbucks. And they wear that as a badge of honor. But nay, I see that as a disservice. It's kind of like how we have way too many options with dating, with the swiping, so we just can't commit to one person. Same thing. We're all going to die unhappy coffee drinkers because we're all going to keep thinking there's a better coffee out there for me.
Yeah.
But I think if you stick to the classics, okay, all you have to figure out is what is your ratio of milk to coffee. Do you want a lot of milk to coffee? Do you want a little milk to coffee? And usually you start out with a lot of milk to coffee and then you start paring it down and paring it down. And you find exactly what your drink is. And you might want some sweetness in the beginning. And then eventually you're just going to want the coffee flavor on its own. So I would start for you. I would start with, you told me you like vanilla. You like that vanilla oat milk. So maybe a vanilla oat milk latte. Lattes have more milk than cappuccinos do. Start with a vanilla oat milk latte. And then just like kind of check in with yourself, Ash, and just see how you feel.
Okay.
See if it's hitting.
How do I pick a roast? Am I doing a light roast? Am I doing a medium? Like, how do I get into the roast of it all? Like, what kind of coffee?
Again, I think they overcomplicate things.
Okay.
I'm pretty open to all different kinds of roasts. In the words of Tribe Called Quest, I like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. I can go any roast from any part of the country. I don't care if it's light. I don't care if it's part of the world. I don't care if it's light or if it's heavy. They're all fun. They all have their merits. You know, and I think just you got to just get out there and experiment and then come back with what hits. But I wouldn't be too dogmatic about it, because I think that's the issue, is like people are like looking for that perfect thing. And because of that, they just stay out of the game. We want you in the game. It's not.
I want to be in the game, Dan. So what's a cappuccino quickly? Because I think that I might like a cappuccino. It sounds cute.
Okay. A cappuccino and a latte and an espresso and a macchiato and a cortado. Five drinks that all start with a base of espresso.
Mm-hmm.
So we make an espresso. And then it just depends on how much milk you're adding to that espresso.
Got it.
If it's a little milk, that's a macchiato. A little more milk, cortado. A little more milk, cappuccino. The most milk, latte. That's basically all we're working with here.
I would have never known that. Thank you. I've learned so much, Dan. This is amazing.
So look, I'm glad that I can help you out. I'm assuming this is what your podcast is about, taking people's, you know, their lows and turning them into highs.
Yes.
And, you know, I make clear to people that I don't want to talk about their careers on my podcast. I just want to talk about your relationship to food. But I think the concept of your podcast is very interesting. And if you wouldn't mind, can you get into it just a little bit? Tell me what it's about, what's going on, how you got on Oprah's radar.
Yeah. Thank you for asking, Dan. Yeah. So my podcast is called Trials to Triumphs. And, you know, I created the podcast that I wanted. I wanted a place where people could get inspiration, but like the real inspiration. Cause I think oftentimes we celebrate the highlight reel, right? Like we place so much emphasis on the moments when people made it. Or the really, you know, them reaching and achieving those really big accomplishments. But to me, the inspiration has always been in those moments in their journeys when things weren't looking so great and they didn't know how they were going to get out of said situation, or they were struggling with depression or grief or, you know, fear, whatever it may be. And I think that it's the juxtaposition of both your trials and your triumphs that lead to a full story and a journey that people can then be inspired by. And that's what we're doing. We're having really honest and vulnerable and just real, authentic conversations. And I think, too, what makes my podcast different is that, like, you know, I share of myself, too. So I'm not, you know, expecting anything of my guests that I'm not willing to give myself. And I think that's kind of what makes it super unique and really powerful. And the way I got on Oprah's radar, honestly, was just I created a podcast that my manager really encouraged me to do. At the time, I was like, why would I create a podcast? Who was going to listen to my podcast? Like, nobody. And what is it about? And my manager was like, I don't know. That's what you need to figure out. And he tasked me with figuring it out. And like I said, I created the podcast that I wanted. But at the time, a lot of people in my orbit and, you know, kind followers on social media were kind of also like, Ashley, you need your own show. Like, you need a show. Like, we want to hear more from you. Because, you know, I would share a lot on my stories or on my Instagram page and just about what I was going through or thoughts or ideas I had and whatever. And so in a moment of vulnerability, I was like, listen, guys, I do have a show, actually. But, like, I'm shopping it around and it's not going great. And, you know, hopefully I can bring something to you guys. And a friend of mine from college actually hit me up who was like, listen, I work at OWN and we're actually looking to like kind of expand our podcast slate. And I didn't know you were doing that. Like, see if your reps can send your stuff over, I'll see if we can get you a meeting. And they did. And right before the meeting, she hits me up and she's like, girl, I am so sorry to tell you this, but I'm going to Spotify. This is like days before the meeting. And I was like, okay, so now it's already been a year and a half of me trying to make this happen. And now it's really not going to happen right before I got there. But she's like, no, don't worry. There's another girl who's kind of coming in and like, she's really going to be like, you know, a big producer in the podcast space. And the person who was coming in to take her spot actually happened to be a really good friend of mine who I knew worked at OWN, but didn't work in the podcast space. And so it was one of those winks where I was like, I'm being taken care of. And so it honestly worked out better than I could have even imagined. And, you know, Trials to Triumphs is now, you know, the sister podcast to all the podcasts that Oprah has that inspire me, like the Oprah Winfrey Show podcast or Super Soul Sunday. And now mine's a sister to hers. So I feel very honored and I think I'm in the right company.
I mean, hashtag blessed. That yes. is an amazing story. And I feel like if there's a Trials to Triumphs story within that, it's also like, I feel like with my podcast, it was a similar story where I was so passionate. I'm so passionate about food. It's all I ever care about. I always say like food is my passion and comedy is my day job. But it was like, I was just so passionate about it. And I wanted to do this podcast. And I came up with the idea and I shopped it around to all the big podcast networks. And everyone was like, there's no market for comedy and food. And I didn't buy it. And I just kept doing it. And then I did it on my own for a while. And then I found a little network that wanted to do it. And we became the number one food podcast in the country after like a few months. So I think there's something about knowing in your bones that, oh, this is what I need to be doing, is talking about this. But I feel like whenever in my career, when I'm trying to sell something that is just like, well, what is the market asking for? It never sells. It never fucking sells. And if it does, it doesn't get made or whatever. But when I'm just like, oh, I have to follow this idea to the end because this it's like giving me butterflies. Like, I love this. That's the only time when things actually happen.
Yeah. Create what you want. Like, you know, like be the change you want to see. Not add to the change that you're already seeing happening because you think you can hop on that wave. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, it's unsustainable. So cheers to you. Kudos to you too, Dan. It's amazing. I love your story too.
Oh my God. This is, I'm already feeling the feels. I'm feeling the feels. Oh God. We need to go back to food stuff. Let's talk bouillon. Bouillon? Whatever those cubes are. Compressing salt, dried meat, and seasonings into a shelf-stable food cube is probably as old a technique as cooking itself. Native Americans have long relied on pemmican, a prehistoric power bar of meat, animal fat, fruits, and nuts to eat on the go. In the 1850s Old West, wayfarers packed bricks of dried beef, salt, and dried chilies in their bags to boil in water at campsites, a precursor to chili con carne. But the modern bouillon cube wasn't mass commercialized until 1908, when the Swiss Maggi Corporation, which had pivoted from grain milling to convenience foods, brought it to market. The Maggi cube was followed in short succession by several others in the early 1900s. Indeed, the concept was so widespread that a number of French chefs in the mid-1800s tried and failed to patent portable soup cubes or tablets because the idea wasn't seen as original enough. As industrial food technology has advanced, the bouillon cube's ingredient list has grown, but the basics are the same as hundreds of years ago. Dried meat plus dried vegetables ground into a fine powder, then mixed with salt, proteins, and fats to add heft and flavor. I'm going to get to the questions that I ask every guest on the podcast. Actually, before I get to this, I do have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up and what was the food culture like in your home?
Yeah, I grew up in the DMV, the Washington, D.C. area, between Maryland and Washington, D.C. So, you know, the vibe where I'm from is seafood, you know, crabs, and Maryland is, we're the home of the crab. So I grew up with a lot of crab and a lot of seafood, but I also grew up with a dad who cooked every night. Like, you know, my dad is who really taught me how to cook and really instilled that in me. And, you know, I grew up eating everything. Like, I remember in any given week, and you know, it's funny, like I look at my life now and I'm like, I do the exact same thing, but in any given week we would have chicken divan, we would have a burger, we would have swordfish, we would have rockfish, we would have lamb chops, we would have like I ate everything and from
you
a very
well.
Young yes but also from a very young age. And so I'm grateful to my parents and, you know, especially to my dad for like they helped me build my palate. That's when it starts. You know what I mean? Like I was the kid that would really try anything. Like, yes, there's things that I like more than others, but like, I really just don't like fennel and tarragon. Those are like the only, and lima beans. Those are like the only things I'm just really not banging with.
Oh my God. You literally picked two of my favorite things in life, fennel and tarragon. That's the name of my autobiography is Fennel and Tarragon, The Danadu Story. I love those two things. This podcast is over.
That's hilarious.
We've reached the conclusion.
But it makes sense. To me, they're very specific things that like either you love them or like those flavors do not vibe for you and they just don't vibe for me. But the fact that we can even have that conversation shows that we have great palates. So I love that for us.
I actually went to college in Maryland, in Baltimore. So I'm very familiar with that food culture, and it is one of the more interesting sub food cultures in America. I feel that's like this like spicy seafoody culture that's not like I don't know. It's not as wild as like Louisiana cuisine, you know. But it is like it also just has like a lot of really fun ritual. Like I'm just like remembering a lot of newspapers on tables with like crabs all
over
the
place.
How I grew
up, yeah. Any like family function, we're getting crabs and we're putting we're putting the Washington Post down and yeah.
Give me that Old Bay. Give me all the Old Bay. But then when did you switch to the organic princess? Was that after you moved to LA?
1,000%. Yeah. You're like, I can't even deny that. Yeah. Once I moved to LA and was like an actor in Hollywood. Yeah. Like, that's when it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Show me someone's fridge and I can tell you how long they've been in LA for. You've been here for a while. LA has had its way with you.
Yes.
Okay. So what is your earliest food memory?
No one's ever asked me that. This is so exciting. I have two kind of that are popping in. So one, I remember my mom teaching me how to like eat crabs. Like I remember her like as like a young kid, like a toddler, like here's the crab. Like you pull this up, you pull that back, like be careful. Like I remember that learning how to eat crabs. I also have a really early memory of like at a Thanksgiving snapping green beans with my mom, my Nana and her mother. So like four generations, I remember like, and I still to this day, like I have to snap my green beans. I will never buy them like pre-cut. I have to snap them. And then another kind of like bad one, I guess, is I remember my dad, I asked my dad to make me some boiled eggs before school. I was like in high school, I think, or maybe middle school. And by the time I came down for school, like I just didn't want them anymore. And he was like, oh no, you're eating these. And I was like, but dad, like, I'm not really hungry anymore. Like I thought I wanted the boiled egg, whatever. And I remember he was like, we are not leaving this house until you eat them. And you have like 2 minutes. And I remember he had a glass of orange juice for me and the egg. And because I was trying to like force myself to eat them, I vomited.
You let it out. Yeah.
Because, yeah. But so every time I like, whenever there's like boiled eggs or orange juice on a table at the same time, I always have that memory. He would never remember it, but I remember. Yeah.
Wow. First of all, kudos for hesitating before saying vomiting, because you realize that this is a food podcast and people should have a level of decorum. I've had people on my fucking show talking about disgusting things that come out of all their holes. And I'm like, hey, there's classy people listening to this over a meal. So I applaud your classiness.
Thank you. Thank you so much, pause. Dan.
Of course.
Thank you.
What is your death row meal? Let's think of a reason you're on death row. Oh, let's say you go to a restaurant and the chef recognizes you and like, oh my God, I need to make something special for her. And he's like, I made this. This comes from the heart. It's a soup made with fennel, tarragon, and lima beans. And you just can't take it. It's the holy trinity of hell for you. And so you just, before you know it, the knife is in his heart and you've murdered the chef and now you're on death row. What is your death row meal?
Okay.
First of all, by the way, fennel tarragon lima bean soup sounds divine.
Oh my gosh, Dan, please do not make that. Like, please promise me you will not make that. Oh my
When's
gosh. Watch it. It'll be like,
when is
what? December 4th. And if it shows up at my door, we gonna have a problem. But watch, you're gonna like become uber famous for making the classic fennel tarragon lima bean soup. You're gonna be plastered all over the Bon Appetit magazines. Watch. And we're gonna we called it here first.
I call this the Ashley. You guys are gonna love this soup.
All right. I'm on death row. What is my meal? I want lamb chops. I love lamb chops. It's my favorite. So these things would never like normally go together, but this is what I want. I want yams, like candied yams. I love, I don't want marshmallows. I do not want marshmallows on them. Good. I just want very sweet yams. I love that. Like I'm
but
so excited.
We want added sugar on it. Not just like the regular yam on its, like a sweet yam on itself. No, you need.
Yeah. Like I want an African American grandma to make me candied yams like her grandmama taught her to do. Like that's what I want.
Right.
I don't just want like a baked sweet potato with some honey and cinnamon and sugar. Like no.
You don't want the Martha Stewart version.
I never want that. So I want lamb chops. I want candied yams. I want what like vegetable do I want? Oh, I'll do some Brussels. I love Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do some Brussels. And then I would love like I would love like a nice Maryland crab on the side. I just, you know, a nice steamed crab with one piece of newspaper for me to eat it on. That's fine.
Yeah.
And I think I'd feel like I kind of had some of my favorite things, and I'd like some peanut M&Ms on the side.
Oh, yes. A girl after my own heart.
Yep.
I'm completely powerless to the spell of peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
Like, it's if I'm shooting something and there's peanut M&Ms like crafty, the PA will know where to find me if they can't find me.
This is the trick, though. Do you put them in the refrigerator?
No.
You gotta put them in the refrigerator.
Really?
You have to put them in the refrigerator. Yes. Trust me.
I don't want to make them already better than they already are. Like, this is not good for me.
Refrigerator. And then what I do now, too, which is a good tidbit, I get, because I'm like, I can't just be buying share a size packs of peanut M&Ms and not sharing with anybody and eating these all the time. So what I do is I get like the, almost like the Halloween candy, look, individual pack.
Fun size.
The fun size. Thank you. They have like 8 M&Ms in there. So I put those in the refrigerator and then I get a bag as a treat and I don't feel like it's that bad. Cause I'm like, I just had 8 M&Ms. They were delicious, but I didn't just have a whole, I had a fun size bag, but not like a whole bag. That's my trick.
Now you say that, you say that, Ashley. However, the listeners and viewers of your fridge know that there are no peanut M&Ms in your fridge, which means that your little hack didn't work because you ate all the peanut M&Ms. You had all the fun sizes that were in there, okay? And you left none in there.
I haven't read up yet. I got to re-up.
You got to re-up. What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
Okay.
Take your time.
Breathe into it, Ash.
Yeah, okay. Breathe into it.
You know what? My husband and I just celebrated our 2-year wedding anniversary, and we were staying at the one and only resort, Mandarina. So the one and onlys are like a chain of kind of like high-end resorts, but they have this location is in Mandarina, which is like an hour outside of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Okay.
At one of their restaurants there, it's called Alma. It's a Mexican restaurant, but they happen to have on the menu, and I'm not really sure why, a shrimp tagliatelle. And it was, I just could not believe that it just tasted like I was in, like I was for sure in Italy. It was so perfect. It was so buttery. And like, you could taste the white wine and the fresh shaved Parmesan and like the way the pasta was perfectly cooked and the shrimp were like the right size and like meaty. It just, it was so good. We had it. We went more than once. We had it twice. Actually, I was like, I want to have this again before we go. And I like, I don't like having the same meal close together. Like if I eat something I really like, I'm not going like the next week to get it. Like I need to space it out. Some people like want the same thing over and over again. I can't do that. So for me to have wanted it like 2 days apart, 3 days apart says like, that's how good it was. It was very, 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 very good.
Wow. Alma. I think I know this town. Is this like, it's like a little town where there's like basically a Four Seasons and another is like a couple hotels there.
Yes. It's called Riviera Nayarit.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. It was so, so good. That was very, very good. Yeah. I'd share that one.
What about the best low end meal you've ever had? This could be a street taco, hot dog.
I know it. It already came to me. I was in Austin, Texas. Was it last year? Yeah, I guess last year, on a trip with my sorority sisters. And we like went out one night and we were leaving and there was like a little like gathering of like food cart or not food carts, food trucks or whatever. I say a gathering because there were like 4. It wasn't like a row of like 40 of them or something like that.
It was a gaggle. It was a gaggle of food trucks.
It was a gaggle of food trucks. And, you know, we've been drinking, you know, whatever. We go to one of them and they have birria tacos, which I had been wanting to try. And so me and one of my best friends, Angelique, we went and got the burrito tacos. And I remember we said to each other, like, we only need two, right? Like, it's late. We're just going to get home. Like, we're just going to eat these when we get back to the hotel. Like, it's late. Yeah, yeah, we just need two. Like, one for you, one for me. And we waited until we got back to the hotel and we ate them. And I remember we looked at each other and we're like, same time, we were like, why did we only get one? They were so good. I mean, like the sauce you dip,
The consomme.
Consomme. It was one of the best tacos I've ever had in my entire life. And it's going to haunt me because I have no way, if I'm back in Austin tomorrow, I have no way of remembering where I got that burrito taco from. But it was one of the best. And it was probably like $3 or something like that. But it was delicious. Oh,
yeah. The burrito taco is definitely making a strong push for best late night eats, best drunk food.
I'd say.
It hits all of the senses. It's so good. It's like a Mexican French dip.
Yes.
It's like a Mexican au jus.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yes.
Okay, so you do. I was going to ask, the next question is, what's your favorite drunk food? But I think you answered it.
You know what? You know what's crazy? This is what's really crazy about that question. I don't even get drunk like that no more. The older I get, the more I'm like, I can't do it. I can't. I know my limits now. I'm like, oh, no. I barely, it's so crazy. I barely drink like that. Like it's crazy. Something happened and I just drink less. But if I were to have a drunken night, I would ask for a burrito taco. The problem is that like, I live in LA, but like, they're not like super easy to come by. It's not like I could just find a burrito taco, like lickety split. So I guess it's still Chipotle then. It would be Chipotle.
You'd be surprised. You search burrito tacos on Postmates. There'll be one at your door in 15 minutes.
But will it be good though, Dan? I can't risk it. You know how I feel about risking it for not good. I don't like that.
You're right. I think you should go with plan A of don't get too drunk anymore.
Yeah. Or go to Chipotle. Chipotle's still Old Faithful. Just get a Chipotle burrito. Like you'll be fine.
Chipotle is probably my favorite hangover cure, which is my next question, which is what is your hangover cure?
Sleep. I have to sleep.
Boring.
And like a good murder mystery. I got to watch something like scary and like creepy. I got to do something like that. I like that. But I have to sleep. Yeah. Like, what's the other cure? Like, let me tell you what the cure isn't. Hair of the dog. That does not help me.
No, that's a bullshit cure that alcoholics are trying to make us all do. Like, it never helps.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I don't care.
It makes things way worse.
But do you know there's these patches now, Dan? There's patches.
Oh, it's time for another Ashley promo, everyone. Here it comes. A non-sponsored promo.
Oh my god, I'm retiring after today. No, seriously, there's these patches. You can get them on Amazon. They're like nicotine patches, but you put them on like when you know you're gonna have like a crazy day of like drinking or whatever. You put it on, and it's like infusing your body with vitamins that like I guess combat a potential hangover, and like you're good to go. There's patches now on Amazon. Literally, Google like hangover patches on or type it in on Amazon and they come up and they really work.
You know, I feel like I have, and I'm still working this thought in my head, but I feel like I have a mental issue with all these like hangover cure type things because I feel like we should feel the hangover from drinking because drinking's not good for us. And we need some sort of firewall, something that makes us feel, maybe I shouldn't have this next drink because it's going to make tomorrow a lot worse, rather than, oh, well, it's okay because I have the magic patch on my ass and it's infusing all these vitamins and minerals in me. So I can drink as much as I want. I can get in my car and drink and drive because I got the patch on. I can hit that pedestrian because I'm wearing, you know, I can do all the things. No, but the hangover makes us say, no, maybe I'm not going to murder today. Maybe I'm just going to go home and sleep and have some water, maybe some coconut water.
Well, you got us all the way to, oh, I also don't like coconut water, but I love coconut.
I think that's totally reasonable.
Yeah. It's another thing about me.
That was on your Hinge profile. That's how you met your husband. Another thing about me.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite celebrity food personality?
I like Emeril. I'm an Emeril girl.
Old school.
I'm an Emeril Lagasse girl. I am. I grew up with Emeril. I've owned some Emeril cooking products that I actually enjoy.
Wow.
I enjoy his spirit, his energy. I think he has great recipes. I like his cooking style. I'd say Emeril. I'm an Emeril girl. Yeah.
I like the unabashed, Emeril-ness of this all. It has the words BAM spelled all over it.
It's right up my alley. It's so me. I'm kind of missing him right now. I'm thinking about him.
I mean, he's still alive. Let's not talk about him.
Yeah, but I mean...
He's on some infomercial selling some rotisserie chicken maker somewhere.
I had his air fryer for a really long time. It was like an air fryer that could like do everything. And it was bomb. Like, it was really good. It was good. It's good. It's really good.
He's also like a good person. Like, he gives a lot to like after Katrina, like he like helped rebuild the whole city and like didn't say, he didn't even like say anything about it. He just kind of did it, you know? He wasn't doing it for the gram like I would. I'd be like... taking pictures. Not Emeril.
No, he's a good man. I call him M.
Yeah. M's good. You should get him on your podcast. That would be fun.
That would be great. Yeah.
I should get him on my. Let's do a dual podcast.
Yeah.
Emeril Lagasse.
Okay.
All right. Desert island food. You're trapped on a desert island. There's one food you're never going to get tired of. You can eat it every day for the rest of your life. You will never tire of it. What? Is it? I'm assuming I know the answer, and it's not in the fridge right now because you ate them all.
Peanut M&M's. I need something a little bit more nutritious. I don't think I can just eat peanut M&M's the whole time while I'm on a desert island.
I mean, you're going to die on this island.
That's true.
So why not just make it quicker?
Okay, peanut M&M's.
Yep. Oh, no. I led to your quicker demise. I apologize for that.
Yep.
Is there a food you can't stand eating? Something you hate? Oh, yes. Fennel and tarragon and lima beans.
Yeah.
I listen.
Those are the things. I just don't like eating those. Well, I just don't eat them at all, so.
You will be on December 4th.
The soup.
Final question. My favorite question. What is or what are your restaurant pet peeves?
Okay. My restaurant pet peeves are as follows.
Ooh, we're getting a manifesto. We're getting a manifesto. I like it.
I don't like... Here's the thing. I understand that like the restaurant industry is rough. And I am like a very patient patron. But I don't like when like no one says anything or comes to your table or takes anything for like a considerable amount of time. And we all know what the considerable amount of time is. Like... when you've sat there and had a whole conversation with somebody and then you're like, oh, they didn't even ask us if we wanted anything to drink or drink order, like, or we don't have menus. Like being forgotten about, which I know can happen, but I don't like that.
Mm.
I also don't like a table not being like thoroughly cleaned is a really big thing for me too. Oh, like when you still see like, or like a seat or whatever, like when it's just not clean enough, that stresses me out too.
Yeah, I will get up and fucking, I will get up and leave. I will leave that fucking establishment. Sorry, Burger King, not getting my money this time.
Yeah, okay, Burger King, I cannot. Shout out to the Whopper Jr., always and forever one of my favorites. And you know what I'm realizing now that I'm thinking about this? I'm not a complainer at stuff like I don't really be like, you have to really do something egregious. Oh, it just hit me. Oh my gosh.
Here we go. Yeah. I was like, okay, Mother Teresa, it'll hit you in a second. And here it is. Give it to me.
Hair,
like in the food?
Hair in the food, on the table, in a menu. Like I'd rather like a fingernail or something. Something about hair is so bad to me. Like, you might as well have put, like, I can't even think of something worse than, like, hair being in food. That is my biggest, it drives me crazy. It makes me nauseous. I can't take it.
Can I tell you something? And this is the first time I'm ever admitting this on the air to anyone.
Oh, my God. No, no, no.
I'm, like, the type of person that if the dish comes and there's a hair in it, I'll just pull it out and put it off to the side, and I will enjoy my meal. 9 times out of 10. Maybe the 1 time out of 10 I'll be like, excuse me, there's a heron. But if it's like on the side, if it's not like, if it's not like fully incorporated into the dish, I'm just going to, you know, I'll move. Like, what is it? What is it but a piece of dead protein? What is it but a piece of dead protein? I just move it off to the side and I enjoy my meal just like nothing happened.
Okay, well, first, Dan, you should have never admitted that. It's number one, because now we all know that you're a psychopath. Secondly, can you walk us through how you're able to do that? Because I am at a loss for words.
I don't know. I don't know why. I feel, and I'm with you. Trust me, I have more crazy food neuroses than anyone I know. I don't know why that one has gone over my head. No pun intended. I just don't get it. It doesn't, it grosses me out. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, it won't ruin my day like other things would ruin my day.
Okay, give me another. Okay, you have to give me something else that would ruin your day more, because that's ruining like my month if that happens.
Like, if I ordered medium rare and it comes well done, that's ruined my day. I won't even hesitate to return that dish. I'm just saying, I will probably return the dish if there's a hair in it, but I'll hesitate a lot less than for a lot of other things. Like, the meal, it was improperly cooked. The temperature is off. I'm trying to think the last time I returned something. Oh, I returned a martini because I asked for it shaken very hard because I like the ice chips in it. Didn't have the ice chips in it. I returned it, didn't even hesitate.
See, I'm okay with the ice chips. I'm just like, oh man, they didn't shake it hard enough. That's fine. Like, I'm moving on with that. But the hair, we are like, I'm like, I need the card to the manager. Like, who owns this establishment? Like, we have to talk about this. And I'm getting free meals at their sister restaurant for the rest of my life. Like, that's what's happening for me.
I love it. I totally get it. Actually, this has been such a pleasure. It's So I always say this, it's always a crapshoot when I talk to someone that I've never met before. You never know how it's going to go. And this went so delightfully well. I feel yes. like we should co-host something.
I would love that. Yeah, we have a good vibe. And it's called Fennel and Tarragon.
Yes,
Fennel and Tarragon. And we talk about how we're just opposites on it, but somehow we birthed this amazing project out of it.
I feel like that would be the name. You know how, like, in the early 2000s, all these restaurants started coming out with these, like, charming farm names that had an ampersand in between them? I could totally see Fennel and Tarragon being one of those restaurants. Farm to table, Fennel and Tarragon has everything local from our farm.
Love it. I'm obsessed. Man,
I love it. Ashley, tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. You guys can find me on Instagram at Ashley Blaine. I left Twitter, so you can't find me there. Yeah, so that's where you can find me.
Ashley Blaine, I love it. Thank you again, and good luck with the pod.
Thank you so much. Same to you, Dan. This is a blast. Thanks for having me.